Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart. Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom. Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you, beloved. God bless you. Amen, amen. I thank God for this day. Truly, it is the day that He has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning to my beloved co-host, Minister Garnes. Good morning to you, beloved.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, beloved. It's a wonderful day. We're alive, and we're on the show. So it's gonna be an awesome day. So just want to say good morning to our listeners. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate you and continue to just share the information that we share, and we're happy that we are happy that God has allowed us this platform, and we are going to make sure we make Him famous.
Amen. 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 Well, good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, woman of God. Love you immensely. Good morning to Joyce Richardson, her mother. I love you, beloved, and I pray that God is continuing to lead you and guide you as you go about your day and about the rest of this week coming up. Well, this is the ending of the week. That's right, and the week coming up. To Joyce in New York, hello, beloved. How are you? It's good to see you with us this morning. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, my brother Andre in PA. Good morning to you. God bless you. To Prophetess Dorn, Prophetess Kim, Prophet and Songbird Crawford. Praise be unto God. Good morning to you. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr. It's always a pleasure to say good morning to you, sir. And all of you know he has his own blog talk radio show, Issues, Christian Men Talk. I will forever remind you, get your men on that show to call in and to hear what the Lord is saying to the men, and, of course, to those of us women that want to know what is being said to the men, what we should be expecting from our men, I encourage you also to tune in to the show. Good morning to all of New Vision for Life, the church that God has given me the honor to pastor and to cover. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank you for your support and all that we say and do. And please, just as Minister Tabika has mentioned many a times, please continue to make God famous. Do that by sharing the love of Christ in all that we do. I also want to give a special shout out to Elder Raymond Henson. Elder Raymond Henson, who is the head of our outreach ministry. This past Wednesday, he and a crew of seven others went to Helping Up Mission to serve the homeless men that are there, and there's at least 400. That's the minimum amount of men that were there. And Elder Henson and his wife, Minister Tish, and several other people went down, and they served the men. And I just want to say thank you to him and to the crew that went out, and they always enjoy it. I know when Minister Tabika and I go, It is a joy. It is a pleasure to serve these men. It is a pleasure. And they are so grateful for all that we do. And all we're doing is serving them, being a servant to them. But they are such grateful men. And I thank God again for the opportunity. So, Elder Raymond, thank you for making God famous on those premises. God bless you, man of God. God bless you. Okay, we are going to go ahead and open in prayer. Oh, wait a minute. Nope, got to say good morning to Apostle Reggie Wilson. Good morning, good morning, good morning to him. Praise be unto God. I do thank the Lord for him. He is our apostle. He is here in Baltimore, praise God, and he is going to be with us on tomorrow morning. That's right. He's going to be sharing with us tomorrow morning. So I do encourage you, please, to go to our website, www.newvisionforlife.com. Go to the website and find out the address and go ahead and MapQuest your way to our premises so where you can come and worship with us on tomorrow. So that is tomorrow, August the 4th, 2019. Come to New Vision for Life and truly know that you will be met by the Spirit of God. So I do encourage you to do that. Okay. Beloved, if you wouldn't mind, please, could you open us up in prayer?
Sure.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Whew. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift you up this morning, Lord God, and we just pray, Lord, for your peace and your comfort, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that just like you always do, Lord, we welcome you on this line that you may touch your people in whatever way that you want them to be touched, whatever information that you want them to get, Lord God. I just thank you right now, Father God, for this platform, Lord, where we're able to share the good news, where we're able to share how good you are, where we're able to share information that will help your people get through what they're going through or help them to understand situations that they're in, Father. So, Lord, we don't take this lightly, and we appreciate that you chose us, Lord God, and you trust us enough to give us, Lord God, the airways. So, Father, we just say thank you, Father God, as we just continue just to make you famous, Lord God, as we continue, Father God, just to hold on to the promises and the blessings that you have for us. Lord, we know that sometimes we get distracted and we lose focus, oh God. Sometimes there's so much stuff going on around us and at our jobs and in our relationships and, you know, with our children, oh God. But we know that we can call out to you, Father, and that you will be right there with us and that you would give us the peace, Lord God, and the strength to endure whatever is that is going wrong or not even anything that's going wrong, God. Even in the good times, we have to learn to praise your name because we just don't seek you when things are wrong, Lord God. We seek you in our everyday life, Lord, whether things are bad or good, Lord, we should learn to praise you and worship you through everything. So, Father, we just thank you right now. We ask that you touch our hearts. Lord God, we ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for things to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that our eyes would be open, that our ears, Father God, would be open to hear what it is that you're saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. So we just give you glory right now, Lord, because there was none like you. There was none like you in all the earth, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, for just everything that you're doing, Father. We thank you for your heart, Father God, heart to heart, the name of this show, Lord God. We thank you for your heart as you share your heart with us and we share your heart with the people, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless your holy name. We thank you for every person that's listening, Lord God. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for their families. God, we pray for whatever situations that they may be going through right now. God, we just pray that your perfect peace, Father, would be with them, Lord God, that that your strength would keep them going, would keep pushing them, Father God, to not give up, even when it's hard, even when it seems like there's no answer or there's no way, Lord God. Continue, Father God, to push them that they may stay faithful within the storm, Father God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. And we know, Father, Lord, that we don't suffer in vain, that there is a purpose and a plan for our suffering, and you don't just, you know, choose us and say, hey, I just want to be going to suffer this month, Lord. But we know that that's not you, Father God. We know that whatever it is that we're going through and struggling through, Lord God, that you have a plan and a purpose for it. Even if we don't understand it, even if we don't get it, Lord God, we know that you are not a God that make mistakes. We know that you are not a mean or evil God. So let us look at us when we're going through situations. Let us look at it in a different way, Lord God. Let us just embrace what it is and ask you to help us through it, and ask you to help us see, Lord God, what are we supposed to learn behind, Lord God, the things that we go through. So Father, we thank you for being faithful. We thank you for being loving. We thank you for being forgiving. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your joy, Lord God. Let your joy just overwhelm us and consume us. Let your love, Lord God, just take hold of our hearts, Lord God, that we may begin to extend that same love to our brothers and sisters, Father. Lord, we pray for those that are lost, oh God. We pray for those, Father God, that are unsaved. Lord, we pray that that people won't continue to pass away without knowing who you are, without receiving the salvation, Lord God, so that they may make it into heaven, Father. And we pray, Lord God, for our young people, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray for them, God. We continue to lift them up to you, Father God. We ask, Lord, that you just the hedge of protection that they need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, continue, Lord, to be that protector over them, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that your light would just shine so that they could see their way out of the things that they're in, Father God. We ask, Lord, that you would just touch their hearts, God, and stir up their hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, that you would just be their peace, that you would be their answer, Father, that they would stop seeking answers in the wrong places, God, seeking to see things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We come against witchcraft, Lord, that is pulling them in that direction, Father God, because it's something that they can see and it looks interesting and they're curious about it, God. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the spirit of witchcraft be removed from your young people in the name of Jesus, the spirit of murder, the spirit of jealousy and envy, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Just touch their hearts, God, and pull them up out of those pits that they're in, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Show them how to love one another, Father, in the name of Jesus, even if they've had a disagreement or altercation. God, show them how to love one another through what it is that happened. Lord, learn. I pray that they would learn how to extend forgiveness, Lord. Extend forgiveness. Let their hearts, Lord God, be pricked and turned into a heart of flesh, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. So we just thank you, God, for every opportunity that you've given us, Lord God. We thank you, God, for every door being opened and every door being closed, Father. We thank you for being just and mighty in everything that you do, Father God. And so, Lord, we just praise you, we honor you, and we love you, Lord. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise be unto God. Thanks to God, I tell you. I love it when I hear Minister Tabika pray. I thank God, and I know she touches the heart of God. And again, that is what we are about, heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. There's nothing greater than knowing that you have touched the heart of God. And then when you can bask in his presence, and know that he is touching your heart in return. He is touching your heart. And he reaches out to us probably more than we could ever reach out to him. But we thank God again for this day. We thank him again for this day and this opportunity. Now, saints, listen, I'm going to tell you, even before we get started here, that this is a topic. We're dealing with anger this morning, okay? That's what we're going to be dealing with, is anger. And this is a topic that I know we all have dealt with in some way, shape, or form. We have dealt with the spirit of anger. And I want all of you, please, do what you can this morning to participate in this conversation, to participate in the conversation. This came from Wednesday night Bible study. That's what encouraged me to do this morning. We had Bible study on Wednesday, and we were talking about anger, and you know the famous scripture, be angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And we were studying that, and in doing so, a question came up, is when it says, be angry and sin not, the question had come up, well, how can I be angry? Show me what anger looks like. What can I do in my time of anger and it not be sin? And what are my boundaries? And I mean, the questions and the comments and all. It was very, very interesting. And so this morning I said, well, let's revisit that. Let's revisit that. And I just was trying just now, Tabika, I was trying to get the sheet that we used, and I found it on the internet, but I can't seem to get it across to you. I don't know if you heard the dinging of my computer, but it's frozen, okay? It's frozen, okay, and I can't get out of this space here that I'm in. But, you know, I'll share some from that, and I also, you know, gave the other information that we could be using. But so let me start, first of all, though, with giving you the a definition for anger or being angry. So angry is the feeling or the showing of anger or strong resentment, usually followed by the words at, with, or about. And the example, I'm angry at Minister Tabika. So that's the at following the anger, angry. Or I'm angry with Minister Tabika. Or I'm angry about something Minister Tabika did. And so when you are speaking of anger, it's usually, like I said, followed by those three words. And it's expressing or caused by anger and wrath. When you're angry, it was something that angered you, something that caused you wrath, something that enraged you or offended you, something that made you irate, made you uptight. You got heated about something, furious about it. So as I say these different words, you know, you're able to get an idea. You're able to get an idea of the type of words that would express or that would show anger. And then I looked up the word in the Strong's Concordance, and I cannot pronounce this Greek word, but it's O-R-G-I. Z-O, that's O-R-G-I-Z-O, and that is being angry as expressing a fixed anger, a settled opposition in, a fixed anger, a settled opposition. Now, when God is angry, listen now, y'all. When God is angry, that's done and is a positive thing. When anger is inspired by God, that's what I want to say. I'm sorry. When anger is inspired by God, it is positive. And negative anger arises from our flesh. and sinful anger comes out of that. It focuses on punishing the offender rather than the moral content of the offense. So if somebody angers me, when I get mad, what I want to do is to get the person that made me mad. I want to punish that person. They are the offender, and I want them to pay for what they did to me, whether something they said, something they did, something I don't know, you know, I don't know, whatever ways that they made me mad, I want them to pay for this. And when the Bible tells us in Ephesians, let me see if I can get that here for us real quick. Ephesians 4 and 26 and 27. And I'm going to read the message version of it first. It says, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but do not use your anger as a fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Now, that is the message version of it. And let me see here. Let me pull up the King James real quick, the New King James. Let me pull that one up. And this says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And like I said, this is what initiated our conversation on Wednesday night, because we had some people in our class that really, you know, would get angry, and all of us do. We get angry, and they've expressed their anger, and some of the way that the anger was expressed was in a very negative manner and in a sinful manner. And so, like, well, where do we draw the boundaries? What's considered sin? What isn't considered sin? Well, as we started out with the lesson, we went to some biblical examples of acceptable anger. And it shows how God is angry. In Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. He is angry with the wicked. That is an acceptable anger. He's angry with the wickedness that is going on. And Exodus 11:4-8, and I'm not reading the whole scripture, just a sentence that was pulled out of it for our studies. In Egypt, Moses acted as God's spokesman, yet he spoke in great anger. And in Mark, Jesus looked on the Jews in anger, being grieved at their hardness of heart. And Ephesians 4:26, which we just read, be angry and do not sin. So as you can see, in these different scriptures, there was a time to be angry and express the anger. And these were biblical examples of acceptable anger. And this is being angry at sin, angry at the wickedness of man, angry at man hardening his heart, just sin. And so we are allowed to be angry at sin. That is acceptable. That is acceptable in the eyes of God. We're also allowed to hate what God hates. And God hates sin. He hates it with a passion. So we are to hate sin. And then we can be angry at sin, now, or about sin. Now, the dangers of anger, the dangers of anger is that it can produce an unrighteous attitude towards God and towards man. It can cause us to blow up, cause us to speak very evil to other people. And if we go all the way back to the very beginning of time, Cain and Abel, Cain's anger led him to kill his brother. So as you can see, anger can go from you cussing somebody out, doing something vindictive, making them pay for what they did to you, to the very point of literally, not figuratively, we're speaking literally killing somebody. Most of the people that have been killed were done so in anger. So anger has a very negative connotation when it's not out of the type of anger that God has against sin. I hope you understand that. Anger can cause us to clam up. You know, you can become bitter and full of wrath, and you clam up. You don't want to speak to anybody. And this is terrible, of course, when it's between married people. You know, the best way the word tells us, you know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And hello, wait a minute. Let me say this. Let me say this right here, because I just said something that, well, you'll hear me. We hear that don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We hear that statement mostly when we are talking about couples. You don't want them going to bed angry. So children, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But this is in any relationship, that you have. You should not let the sun go down on your wrath. Anger will build up. Anger can build up if you don't speak to each other, if you don't come to an amicable solution or a place where you say, look, we just won't talk about this anymore today. Let's get back together tomorrow, and let's both go and pray about it, and so forth and so on. There are ways that you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It could be in a business decision. It could be with married couples. It could be between two friends. It could be between a parent and a child. You know, whatever the case may be, it can be between a pastor and a member of their church. Any two people. It can be, you know, where don't let the sun catch you like this. Don't let the enemy have that kind of foothold in your life because you got upset about something, because all kinds of evil stuff comes out of this. Now, also, beloved, let me say this. I said it's okay to be angry when you're angry about sin, but let me also tell you where anger is good, and I don't know if it's in the part yet that I gave Minister Tabika that we'll be sharing on, but just let me say this. When anger motivates you to do something positive, do you know so many laws have been changed because somebody got angry about something that happened? What about MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving? A mother that lost her son got angry about that because a drunk driver killed the son. And therefore, she took that anger and turned it into a very positive thing. Many things have changed because we were angry about something, and that motivated us to do something else about it. Now, and I can't say that all of the laws that have been changed they're for the good of those who work to get it changed. Let me say that. It's for the good of those that work to get it changed, for those that are to benefit from it. But there are some laws that were changed that also supports sin. Here's a quick, easy one. Abortion, the right to have an abortion. Abortion is murder. And we know there's certain circumstances, you know, where grace and mercy is in God, does grace and mercy across the board. So anyone that has had an abortion, please understand that even though it was sin to murder, Just like it's a sin to lie, it's a sin for fornication, it's a sin to steal, it's a sin for idolatry. All of that falls under sin. That's murder. All of it falls under it's a sin. God extends grace and mercy for us in these situations. He grants us mercy in this. So, but I'm just using this as an example. Somebody, you know, felt that they had the right to get rid of a pregnancy if they wanted to. And so, therefore, the laws were changed to accommodate that. They were angry about something, and they got it fixed through the law. Same-sex marriages, people being angry that their relationships are not accepted by mankind. It goes against the grain. They were angry about it. They fought to have the law changed, and the law was changed. So, again, you can use anger as a motivation to do something about what it is that made you angry. Being destructive in your anger, hitting walls or people, screaming, shouting, throwing things. I saw it on the news years ago where a young girl, 20 or 21 years old, got angry with another girl over a man, and she jumped in a car that, let's say they were at some place like a 7-Eleven or something like that, and she jumped in her car and she ran over the girl. She was angry. Oh, my gosh, be angry and sin not. Be mad at the situation. Be mad, but don't sin. Do not sin. And so, you know, this was some of the discussion that we were having on Wednesday night. You got the ability to control anger. You know, when the word tells us to be angry and sin not, the fact that it says that means that, and this was one that we really went back and forth on. It says here, when it says be angry and sin not, that means you can control what you do. You can control if you sin or not. What people brought up in the class, and with this, sometimes anger hits you, bam, right away, and you don't control it. You know, you explode immediately. You're not going to say, well, wait a minute, let me ponder about this. You know, let's say somebody punched you in your face, and, well, that one you can kind of stop and control, but somebody punched you in your face, and in self-defense, you know, you punch them right back. Well, the first question that was asked was punching somebody back. Is that sin? Well, we spoke about the fact that it was assault and battery, you know, so it broke the law. So we'll count that as sin. But when it tells us to be angry and sin not, it is telling us here that we have the ability to control what we do with that anger. And there will be times where you will explode. In the fit of anger, in rage, you will explode, and you're not going to stop and respond accordingly. You're going to react to it. So we came to the conclusion that you can't control your anger all the time, but still know that you do have the ability to control anger. And Proverbs 29:11, the word says, a fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. So you say, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that in the fit of rage, you know, we shout out what it is we're going to do. I'm going to do this, that, and the other to you, you know, to your parents, to your children, da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to leave you, whatever the case may be. So you start telling who the person that offended you, you start telling them what it is that you're going to do. So therefore now you've told the enemy what your plans are, which gives them now the opportunity to prepare for you to do whatever it is you're saying that you're doing. Gives them the opportunity to defend whatever it is that, you know, that you said you would do to them. You've given them the warning. You've told them what your plans are. And the Bible said a fool vents all of his feelings, but the wise man holds it back. So in other words, this person has offended you. It would pay for you to keep your mouth closed and don't tell what it is that you're going to do, if anything. And remember, we are Christians, so whatever it is that we should be doing, it should be dealing with the problem and not so much the person. All righty, that's it, y'all. Listen, deal with the problem and not so much the person. So we have to learn self-control. We have to learn self-control when we are dealing with our anger. And in the place where we get angry and we do something that is sinful, praise be unto God, it happens. And when we do something that is sinful, that's a time when we are to repent and pray. Repent and pray. And that's what we should be doing, beloved. That's what we should do. And so what we want to do, part of what we're doing here today, I want us to discuss 12 ways. There are 12 steps. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Yes. 12 steps that we have to use anger constructively. There are 12 steps that we could use to use anger constructively. Minister Tabika, would you go ahead, dear, and pick up from there?
Yes, ma'am. All right. So the 12 steps that we can use to use for anger, the first thing is that you want to decide where it is you want your anger to take you. So that means that if, you know, you're angry about something, but your response to the anger may cause you to go to jail, you may want to think about that before you react to it. And then the second part is arriving at that destination through a step-by-step process. And so some people may be thinking, you know, if I'm in a situation and I'm in a heated, you know, disagreement or argument, and the example that Apostle Banks gave, like if somebody punched you in your face. And so we'll use that example again, that if you're somewhere, you're in a heated argument, and someone basically punches you in your face, our natural reaction is to hit the person back. And then it could be, the result may be that both of you go to jail. So even in those moments, and listen, I know it's hard because, like, we're humans and we have, like, these natural, that we call them natural reactions, things that, you know, reflexes and things like that. And so sometimes we're not thinking about, you know, steps in that moment. But if it's an ongoing argument, let's just say it's an ongoing argument, and in this case, you would be able to use these steps because it's been ongoing. So now you have time to think through it, to just come up with strategies on how, you know, you can best deal with it and not let it take you to physical, to a physical place of revenge, trying to get someone back. So I know that, you know, even things that happen to our children, you know, that's the ultimate anger. If somebody does something to our child, you know that as a parent, we want to get that person back. And it depends on the level of what somebody did to your child. And so in those cases, you know, we have to do what's best for the child. Even in that, we still have to use some type of strategy to not put our hands on people. And that's why the police are there, because that's who we are supposed to call. We're not supposed to take the matter into our own hands and handle it our way. We're supposed to call the law. That's what they were trained for. And even in that, if they do something to the person, you know, that harmed your child, that's on them. it removes you from that situation, because you don't want to take revenge in your own hands. You've done something to the person that has harmed your child, and now you go to jail, and now your child doesn't have you because now you're in jail. So there are many things that we have to think about and not allow anger to settle in our hearts. That's what we have to be careful of, allowing the anger to settle in our hearts and stay there, because then it begins to fester into other things. So the first step is to decide how you want to feel after you get angry. So how you use anger is a choice. So if you choose to use anger constructively, you'll generally expect that. So after you finish expressing your anger, you can have a better understanding of the person with whom you had the angry exchange. You can feel better about that person, feel closer to resolving issues between you and the other person, realize that things were never as bad as you initially thought they were when you first became angry, feel that both parties came away feeling like something good happened, and have less conflict in the future. So, and on the other hand, if you choose to use your anger destructively, you should expect the opposite outcomes. So you can expect more conflict in the future, more tension between you and the other person, and so on. So if you handle it negatively, all the positive things that I just said, when you handle it positively, you get positive outcomes. If you handle it negatively, expect negative outcomes. So it's all up to you. You choose. You have the choice on how you want this thing to play out. And if the other person does not want to, let's just say the other person does not want to, you know, be a part of the positivity that you're trying to extend, then just let it be. So that means if they come back to you wanting to stir up some stuff, you have the power to close the door on that. So step two is acknowledge your anger. A simple statement will suffice. What you want to do is give a heads up to the other party in the conversation, letting him know that emotions are in play here and that the emotion you're feeling is anger. So if you're having a conversation with someone, they say something you don't like, you had the choice to just end the conversation. You had the choice to walk away. You have the choice to say, you know what, let's just table this for the moment and let's just come back to it. But at the same time, you do want to deal with it, because if not, it'll just keep piling up. And then if you don't learn how to positively release it, all of that is building up inside you. And so at that moment where somebody just does something, you will explode. And all that anger probably was not directed to that particular person that you exploded on. So, again, you have the choice to determine how you want this to play out. Acknowledge to the person, you know, that you're talking to, hey, listen, that just struck a nerve, or whatever it is that you say, I'll call you back later, or something to that effect. You are in control of the conversation and the situation. Step three, focus your anger on the problem, not the person. A lot of times we focus our anger on the person. So focus on the issue that triggered your anger, not the person on the other side of that issue. So when you begin to personalize anger, your anger will invariably turn vengeful. And that just means that if you know that you're dealing with something that may have happened to you in childhood and you haven't dealt with it, you're in denial, you buried it, and so somebody may do something to you that reminded you of what happened to you in your past, and you automatically just explode on that person. So you have to know what triggers your anger, so that every response that you give a person that you don't necessarily agree with won't be out of that place in your past. Step four, identify the source of the anger. And it says this step is an easy one, because the source of all your anger is you. So all your emotions are a reflection of yourself. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So, you know, sometimes we think that the source of our anger is other people. But it's really the it's really what's going on within us, because our emotions sometimes rise up and we don't know how to control them. So when you learn how to control your emotions, your anger, you'll see that you won't be as angry. And step five, accept that the problem that made you angry can be solved. Fixing problems is much easier than fixing people. What you have is a problem situation. Try to remain optimistic. Be open-minded. Don't be afraid to try new solutions when the old ones don't work. So, again, you can't fix people, but you can fix your problems. And whatever it is that your problem is, it is about you. That's your problem, not the other person's problem. And you know what I say a lot? Don't make your problems somebody else's. You deal with your own problems. You know, don't, because some you don't like the color blue, but the other person likes the color blue, so you have a argument over a color. That's your issue, that you don't like the color blue. Let that person like the color blue if they want to, you know. So, again, you fix your own problems and don't try to fix people. You can talk people through their problems, but you're not the answer to their problems. Step six, try to see things from the other person's perspective. Anger is so subjective that it's hard to see past it. So put yourself in the other person's shoes. But seeing the situation from the other person's perspective is one of the most essential steps in using anger constructively. So that means that you basically just see the situation from the other side. Talk to the person, try to see where it is that the things that they're dealing with maybe, and then it makes you understand why they may react in certain ways. And listen, I'm not saying that if somebody is verbally abusive that you just accept that because that's what their parents did to them when they were children. They grew up with it, and that's all they know. No, you don't have to. You don't have to take the brunt of that. You don't have to accept it just because that's what somebody experienced in their past. But what it's saying is that try to just put yourself in the other person's shoes so that you can better understand that person, and not to accept the abuse, you know, that they may be given, but to just better understand what they went through. And then, and even in that, that'll show you how to pray and what to pray on that person's behalf. Amen, Apostle.
Amen. Let me just say this real quick. I think it was back in number two. I'm not sure right now. Number two. I was on the phone last night with someone. We were holding a good conversation, and then the person said something that angered me. And I was like, wow. And I said, you know something? I'm upset. And the person was like, why? And I said, because you said blase, blase, and that really offended me. It hurt my feelings. And the person said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I said, I understand that, but it really bothered me. And then they tried to go on with conversation, and I said, you know, let's not talk about this right now. In fact, let's get off the phone right now, and I'll talk to you either later on or talk to you tomorrow. But this was something I had to process. I had to process why the person said what they said. Well, that, of course, I'll only find out when I ask the person, but I knew that I was upset enough that whatever I perceived at that point in time, it was bothering me. It was my perception of what they said. And at the moment, I was not able to discuss it right then and there. So I said, let's just not talk anymore tonight, and we'll talk tomorrow and see, you know, what comes out of that. But it gave me the opportunity, you know, to pray. It gave me the opportunity, you know, to ask God, you know, is it something in me? And believe it, saints of God, when I was doing all of this, I was not thinking about these steps here. I wasn't thinking about these steps at all. But it is as we are growing in the Lord, you know, and we want to represent God all the time, as we're growing in the Lord, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us as well as to what we should say and or do. And only as Minister Tabika was reading through these things did I realize how many of those things I actually did last night unconsciously. I didn't say, okay, let me stop and do this. Now let me do step four. Now let me do step six. And I didn't do that. It just came. I'm upset. Let's not talk right now. We can discuss it tomorrow. I need to pray about it and see, you know, what God is telling me. Lord, is there anything in me, you know, that was this? What is it in me that caused me to be offended? You know, because what they said wasn't sinful. It wasn't dirty. It wasn't, but whatever it was, they said, it rubbed me the wrong way. So what was it in me that caused me to be upset about it? And so this is good. As I'm listening to what my sister is going over, this was good. And you'd be surprised at how many times as we're serving God, how many things that we will do and do right because the Holy Spirit is in us, leading us and guiding us, and we do it without knowing that we're doing something right. To God be the glory. All right, step seven, co-opt the other person. In other words, enlist the cooperation of the person you're angry with in resolving the problem. The minute you begin to share the responsibility of resolving an anger-producing problem, the intensity of your anger decreases. It decreases. Step eight, keep a civil tone throughout. What you say in anger isn't what causes problems. It's the tone in which you say it. You know, we all have heard it. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And if you can keep a civil tone to your conversation, you will find that actively listening to the person with whom you are angry is easier. It is also easier to get your message across to that person. Lowering your tone will in turn cause him to lower his. And doesn't the word say something about a soft anger turns away wrath? You'd be surprised at how many major arguments have been deflated simply because you spoke softly instead of yelling and screaming. You spoke softly. And then that person, in turn, they may hear themselves screaming, but as you were speaking softly, they began to lower their tone. Then not only is the tone lowered, normally you're speaking slower to the point that both of you can be heard and understood. It's amazing what the tone of your voice will do. You know, how many times have someone, when you're having a disagreement with someone and you raise your voice, the person stops hearing what you're saying, and they say, well, what are you yelling at me for? Because now all they're concerned about is the tone of voice in which you're speaking to them. Like, don't be yelling at me. Who do you think you are? Why are you talking to me that way? You're no longer talking about the problem that angered you. Now you're speaking strictly about the tone in which that person is speaking to you in. So watch and be careful. Keep a civil tone throughout. Step nine, avoid disrespectful behavior. Clearly, there are some things, gestures, and behaviors you need to avoid if you're going to use anger constructively. What about rolling your eyes at someone and rolling the head at somebody? What about, you know, the gestures here? I'm going to use one that I hate to see, but what about when somebody flips you the bird when you're driving and they give you the finger outside their window? They're angry because you cut them off or you didn't put your blinker on and they flip you the bird. That is a gesture that we should avoid. We should avoid doing things like that. Talking to a parent and rolling your eyes. What about sucking your teeth? Oh, I remember the day, honey, when we almost got our teeth knocked out of our mouths and we sucked our teeth while our parents were speaking to us. Okay, let me hurry up and do these next two. We're down to the wire. Then step 10, Don't be afraid to take a time out if you start to feel angry and resume the discussion later. Don't be afraid to say to the other person, look, I think we've gone as far as we can with this issue right now, but I really think we should continue our discussion at a later date. Do you agree? And then take the time to come back together. But when you come back with some viable solutions. Come back, you know, with that. And so the thing is, don't leave this thing that angered you up in the air, but you must do what you can to hold a discussion about it and hold it later. And then this way, you know, something good comes out of it. Number 11, make it a two-way conversation. When it comes to addressing your anger in a constructive way, you have to let the other person have a turn too. Vengeful anger and simply letting off steam does not involve the other person except as an object of your wrath. You're trying to do something different in this case. So the two of you are fussing and you're arguing with one another. You're going to shout louder than them. You're going to say what you want to say. You're going to blow off and da-da-da-da-da. You're going to do all of that, and nothing is being resolved. Let that person talk. They should let you talk so you can hear one another. And then step 12, acknowledge that you have made progress. Old bad habits like vengeful anger die hard. So if you're trying to begin using anger more constructively, it is important to acknowledge when progress is being made anywhere along the way. Then ask the other person if he or she agrees that progress has been made. You hope, of course, that the person says yes, but if they don't, it's okay. Maybe they'll change their mind in the future. Most important, don't get mad just because the person does not agree with you. Beloved, I'm telling you, these are some helpful, constructive ways on how to handle anger constructively, how to handle it constructively. Very helpful ways in doing that. And always, please, always remember that as saints of God, that we are to seek the Holy Spirit in the things that we do. When we study the Word of God and get that Word in us, our minds are being transformed. They are being renewed. And that's how you end up walking in stuff in the right way without you actually having to plan to walk in it. Because you have, what we looked at last week, I believe it was, you've engrafted the Word of God in your heart. You've engrafted it in your heart, and you began to respond to it, to act on it. You know, just like when you started your driving lessons for your car, you know, at first you got to read the book, then you got to practice, and it's doing things, you know, step by step. You know, you got to practice putting on the seatbelt, you know, because it's not, look, for those of us that came from the old days when they didn't have seatbelts and we didn't have to put on seatbelts, it was harder for us to learn and become accustomed to putting on that seatbelt because we were so used to not having to put on the seatbelt. Well, the kids that are coming up nowadays, ever since seatbelts were in cars, they're automatically taught immediately, put your seatbelt on when you get in the car. Put your seatbelt on when you get in the car. So they do it, and now all of us do it without question. We put our seatbelts on. But those of us, like we said, that came up without it, we really had to renew our minds. So as you study the Word of God and get your mind renewed, you will begin to go right through these steps without even thinking about it. At first, you consciously will think about these things. You consciously will make a practice of it. And after a while, it will become a habit, and you will do it without even thinking about it. Beloved, 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 we have come to the end of our time. this is truly has been. I know I said I wanted y'all to say something, and it's okay because Minister Tabika and I talked the whole complete hour, and so we're glad that we were able to get everything in this. We just encourage you to do exactly what we started out with from Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. It's okay, folks. Go ahead. Be angry, but sin not. Look, we love you. This is the end of the show for today. This is Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.